On the bottom of Daf Hem Zayin Omid Peis, let's just review what we know. According to Rav, Hamakadesh Bemilva Eina Mekudeshes means he gave her money, now he wants to be Mochel the Chov. He cannot be Makadesh with the money that she already has, Betoris Milva. And the Gemara thought that perhaps this issue of Makadesh Bemilva depends upon a Machlokis Tanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim. In the case of a shtar chov dida, which means that she owed him money, he received the shtar, now he wants to give the shtar to her as kesef kedushin, Rabbi Meir Omer Mekudeshes. Rabbi Meir recognizes the kedushin, Chacham claimed that ain't a Mekudeshes, and it's invalid, and the Gemara thought initially that the machlokis is Mekadesh b'milva. The Gemara says no. Then in truth, we're talking about a shtar chov d'acherim, and it depends. Do you need, for example, ksiva u'mesira? Another possibility is that eino chinami, even if you assume that, like Rebbe Shita, that osios niknos b'mesira, and all he has to do is give her the shtar, he doesn't have to add another shtar. But the machlokus is revolving Rav Papa. Rav Papa holds that it's not just enough to, in order to sell a shtar to someone else, to be makna shtar, that you write or you declare, here I'm giving you the shtar, but in addition you have to write knei loch hu v'chol shibuda. And therefore the Chachamim hold that the reason why the kedushin is invalid is because they accept Rav Papa, and he did not add v'chol shibudo. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, validates the kedushin because he doesn't hold of Rav Papa. And that's where we're up to today. The Ibois Ema, the Gemara offers now a third interpretation of the machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. And that is the Kuli Alma Islehu de Rav Papa. Everyone accepts the principle of Rav Papa, and therefore the Mekadesh, who is Makna the Shtar, added Im Kol Shibuda, but Vahacha B'dishmuel Kol Miflagi. The Machlokas revolves around the din of Shmuel, and here we're going to turn to Daf Memches Amid Aleph. The Omer Shmuel, Shmuel says, Amocher Shtar Chov L'Chavero, Chazar, U'mecholo, Mochul, Vafilu Yoresh, Mochel. Shmuel has a very unique halacha. If, let's say, for example, I lend you money, and now you write me a shtar, you're the lov, I'm the malva, and now I sell the shtar to a third person. Okay, let's say I'm Reuven, I lent Shimon money, Shimon gave me a shtar chov, and I, Reuven the malva, take the shtar chov, and I'm makna the shtar chov to Levi. And now I, the malva, am mochel the chov to Shimon. Again, the chov really is between Shimon the lova and Reuven the malva. Reuven still owns bailus according to the principle of Shmuel. And therefore, Reuven the Malva can be Mocha the Chov. Not only that, after Reuven's death, the Chov is subject to the laws of Yerusha. And therefore, the heir now inherits the Chov, and he, the heir, the Yoresh, can be Mocha the Chov. That's the principle of Shmuel. And we'll see how this ties into the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in just one second. But first, let me mention the chiddush of the Pnei Yoshua. Tosus here, Divrei Maschil HaMocher, on the top of Daf Memches, writes in the name of Yesh Mefarshim that the reason why the Mechila is effective, if the Malv is Mochel Lechov, is because the whole concept of Kinyan Shtaros, that you can be Makna Shtar, is a rabbinic invention. It's midrabanan. On a deraisa level, you cannot sell a chov. The chov always remains in the reshus of Reuven, and therefore Reuven can be mochel the chov. And the Pnei Yeshua points out a gewaldige chiddush. He says that according to Tosfos, it comes out that if mechiras shtaros is only drabanan, then if a man is makadish and isha with a shtar chov, the chalos kiddushin is only midrabanan. And that really raises an entire issue about whether or not the Rabbanon can recognize Kiddushin, which the Torah invalidates. And it could only be Kiddushin the Rabbanon. Is there such an entity? Or do we say that once the Rabbanon recognized the Hakna, therefore Hefker Bezen Hefker, and even the Torah recognizes this? And one of the famous issues in Rabbi Yosef Engel and so forth is if a man is Mekadish and Isha by giving her Toch Dalet Amosel, within a radius of where she's standing in Rishus HaRabim Dalet Amos, there's a halacha of Dalet Amos Konos Lo, but that kinyan is only the Rabbanon. Does the Torah recognize a kinyan d'oraisa, a kinyan d'Rabbanon? That is the very important point here made by the Pnei Yehoshua. So let's see how the Gemara ties this in to Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Demar the Chachamim Islay de Shmuel, they accept the principle of Shmuel. And therefore, if a man is Makadish and Isha by transferring to her a chov that he receives through the shtar, by giving her the shtar chov, it says, Arayat Makudeshli, with this shtar chov that so and so owes me, she's not going to have Gemiris Das, according to Chachamim, because she's afraid that the Baal could be Mocha L'Chov. Again, it may be unlikely that the Baal will in fact be Mocha L'Chov, but she certainly has to worry about the possibility that he may do so. And therefore she cannot have complete Das that she's receiving this Chov qua Kiddushin. Umar Barbi Meir holds Leslie the Shmuel, he rejects Shmuel at all. He holds that when you sell a chov, a shtar chov, then you, the malva, have no longer rights over the chov. You cannot be mochel that chov. You've sold the entire chov. You transferred ownership over the entire chov. Tosus elsewhere, Masechta Ksuvis, asks the following question. He says, why should a woman be worried about the fact that the husband will be mochel l'chov after the kiddushin? Grant you that he did and he will and he did so. Nevertheless, he has to pay her back that sum of money that he caused her to lose. And that's halach of garmi. For example, if I destroy a shtar that you have on so and so, and therefore as a result you cannot collect that chov, I have to pay you the most that you can no longer collect. That is a mazik biyadayim called garmi, and that's a sugya mesechta in mesechta Bava Kama. That's the kasha of Tosus in Ksubis, and perhaps we could answer that she is in a state of busha. What was she going to say? Well, you know what? Pay me the value that's written in the shtar. That she doesn't want to do. She wants to receive kesef, glot, you know, straight away, without any glitches to it. And therefore, she's not interested in the Kiddushin. But again, Rabbi Meir's of the opinion that we reject Shmuel, and once you sell a chov, and you transfer over the shtar to a third party, the malva no longer is the owner of the chov, and therefore he cannot be mochel the chov. Iboy, same in the Gemara, says, now the Kuli Alma Islu de Shmuel, even Rabbi Meir accepts the principle of Shmuel. Vahacha beisha kamiflagi. The machlokis is about smichus das aisha mar savar isha samcha daita. Rabbi Meir holds that a woman relies on the fact that since the husband is giving her this shtar chov as kiddushin, is meimama, she thinks lo shavik leli didi umachale lachrini. In the context of this marriage relationship, he's not going to go ahead and be mochel l'chov and benefit the love who borrowed his money. He has vested interest in benefiting me, the isha. I mean, he's interested in kiddushin. He's not going to leave me and ignore me and go ahead and be mochel l'chov. And therefore, she has gemiras das. Umar some of the chacham say isha nami lo som chadaita. She's not going to rely on the Baal. For whatever reason, he may decide to be mochel l'chov. He wants to do a favor for a poor person, whatever it might be. She doesn't have absolute smichas das to rely on this shtar chov that she received. The Baal still maintains he's holding to the reins of this chov and can be mochel. And perhaps one could say that this machlokas v'akmir's das is universal in many issues where the kiddushin still, you know, still depend her receiving the kiddushin and owning, benefiting from the kesef kiddushin depends upon the Baal. There's still some strings attached. In such a case, the Chachamim insist that's not called complete gemiras das. You have to have an absolute haknas kesef without any strings attached. It could be that the machlokas is not so much about das ha'isha as much as it's about the bailus on the chov. Who actually has bailus on the chov? Did he, the Baal, transfer ownership over the chov to the isha? The fact, say the Chachamim, that he, the Baal, as the malva, can still be moch the chov to the lova, that indicates that he never really transferred the money over to her. That's what it means that lo samcha daite. In any event, we've discussed the machlokes Rabbi Meir Chacham with regard to shtar chov. If the Baal, the Makadish, gives her a shtar chov for kiddushin, but the original brisa recorded a second machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, and that is, at least the way the Gemara interpreted it, b'milve baal peh. That the machlokas was in the case of milva baal peh. In other words, there was no shtar given from the lova to the malva. It's a milva baal peh. And now the Baal, who's the malva, wants to give her the chov of ploni of the lova and use it as kesef kiddushin. So the Gemara says the following: if a man is makadish nishma milva baal peh, b'mai pligi, what's the source, the root of the machlokes between Rav Meir and Chachamim? Bidino shel Rav Huna Marav. D'yomer Rav Huna Marav. If a man says to his friend, mona li biyodcha, I gave you a mona and I asked you to watch it, that's called pikadon. Tneu leploni, I'm asking you to give it to so-and-so. B'maimod shloshtan, it's the famous din of Rav called maimod shloshtan. In other words, who's here together? There's the mafkid, the nosein. There is the shomer, the makab, the shomer, who has the object in his hands, and the makabel, the one to whom the nosein wants to give this gift. They're all standing together, and the mafkid declares in the presence of the makabel, Mr. Shomer, my Shomer, please, I want you to give this pikadon, this object, over to the third party, to the Makabel. Is Kana. Rav says that Kinyan is valid. Why? Because they're all there by my Mitzloshtan. And even though, keep in mind, this is the punchline, the pikadon, the cheft itself, has not yet reached, it has not yet arrived into the hands of the Makabel, nevertheless the kinyan is already clinched. Is Mar some of the Chachamim say, Kika Omar Rav Hani Milu Pikadon Aval Milva Lo? Rav's statement only applies to a Pikadon, a Be'en, which is being held by the Shomer, and now the Mafkid wants to be machnet to a third party. That's fine. That's the Halach of Rav of Maimed Shloshtan. However, in a case of a Halva, where this Mekadesh Malva gave a extended loan to so-and-so, now he wants to tell the Lova in the presence of a third party to give it over to the third party, and therefore the most that were given as Alva now become transferred over to a third party through Maimed Shloshtan, is that doesn't work. Rav never validated such a Maimed Shloshtan. Again, in the case of Pikadon, where the Pikadon Be'en is in the Yad of the Shomer, that's one thing. Then the Smichus Das, there's an absolute Kamir's Das from the Makabel that he will receive the object. But in the case of Alva, where there's no Be'en, and this is what Rashi points out, if you take a look about 15 lines down from the top of the page, b'pikadon de'isa be'en, samcha daita makabel, meaning in the case of halva, the makabel is not somech das, and there was no das kona. That's the sheet of the Chachamim, and therefore would not be effective in kiddushin. Umar sov Rabbi Meir's of the opinion, Loshna Milfe Veloshna Pikadon. Rav's principle of Maimon Shloshna operates both in the case of Pikadon where there is a ban, and in the case of a Milfe where there's no ban. And therefore, when a man says to a woman in the presence of the Lova, I want to be Makadish you with the money, this chov that's in the yad of the lova, such the lova will repay the chov not to me, but to you. That's called maimed shloshtan. That's effective, and therefore the kedushin is valid. Tosfos here, the Maskal Ki in the second Tosfos wants to know why the Gemara need this case. Why couldn't the Gemara suggest that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim revolves around the din of Shmuel? And if you recall, according to the Din of Shmuel, the issue was whether or not a person who sells a shtar chov can be mochel the chov to the lova after the mechira. Why didn't the Gemara present the possibility that even if the chachamim of Rabbi Meir would accept the extension of Rav of Maimed Shloshtan to include the case of Milva, but nevertheless, since even after the mechira was effectuated, the mocher, who's the malva, can still be mocher lechov based on the din of Shmuel, therefore she's lo samcha daite. Well, perhaps, says Tosfos, they could have argued v'svara, would a woman have a smichus das that the baal will not be mocher lechov afterwards? And Tosfos wants to prove, based on this kasha, that the din of Shmuel, that a mocher, after he sells the shtar chov, can still be mocher, that doesn't apply in the case where the lova is actually present. If the malva addresses the lova face to face, b'maimed shloshtan, and he tells him that he should pay back the chov to a third party, then the halach of Shmuel, namely that the malva could be mochel, does no longer apply. It's completely suspended. In any event, at this point in the sugya, the Gemara wants to suggest that the machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim revolves around the extension issue, whether or not we can extend Maimed Shloshtan to the case of Milva. And now the Gemara says, Nema Kitanoi. We have another Braisa, and this Braisa might clearly indicate that the issue of Makadish B'milva is a Machlokas Tanoi. His Kachi Li Bishtar, a man says to a woman, I want to be Makadish with a Shtar. Rabbi Meir Omer, Eina Makudeshes, even if the Shtar itself, the parchment on which the shtar is written is worth a pruta, there's no kiddushin. Why? Because the das ha'isha is not on the value of the selling market value of the parchment, but on the chov itself. And there's a Ramban who wants to suggest that even according to Rabbi Meir, if the niyar, if the parchment on which the shtar is written is worth a pruta, she is mekudeshes. That's not the sheet of Rashi here in the sugya. Anyway, getting back to the Braisa, Rabbi Meir, and again, keep in mind that Rabbi Meir in this Braisa says eina mekudeshes, even though Rabbi Meir holds mekadesh b'milveh is mekudeshes. I'm going to see that the Gemara is going to address this issue very shortly. Rabbi Lazar Omer mekudeshes. And it doesn't matter, again, whether the Niyar HaShtar is worth a Shavapruta or not. Rabbi Elazar doesn't qualify his statement. The Kiddushin is valid. He gave her the Shtar Chov. And Mekadish Mimilv Mekudesh. Chachomim Omrim. Shomen Es HaNiyar. Let's evaluate the parchment. Im Yesh Bo Shavapruta Mekudeshes. Then the Kiddushin is here. Not Betoras Milva, but Petoras Kesef, meaning the Kesef that he's giving on now, because there is a market value for Pruta for the parchment, irregardless of that which is written on the parchment via Milav. But if the parchment doesn't have a market value for Pruta, Eda Mekudesha, she is not Mekudeshes. The Gemara asks the following: Hi Shtar Hechidon, what's this case of a Shtar Ilem if he was Mekadesh of a Shtar Chov Da Cherim? in which case it would take us back to the issue of Mekadesh B'Milve, is Kasha Rabbi Meir to Rabbi Meir. This brisa reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir Eidah Mekudesh. And yet, we've already learned in the previous daf that Rabbi Meir in the brisa holds Mekudeshes. Ella, we must be saying B'Shtar Chov Dida. It must be a case where she borrowed money from him and gave him the shtar, him meaning the Mekadesh. The Mekadesh now turns around and he wants to give her the shtar and say, no longer will I be able to collect the money on the shtar, and that, with that money I want to be Mekadesh. Now Mekadesh B'Milvah Miflagi. And Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lozen this price are arguing about Mekadesh B'Milvah. Mekadesh B'Milvah is Eina Mekudeshes. It's not like the case of Shtar Chov Da'acher, where he's giving us something new and Rabbi Meir recognizes and validates such a Kiddushin. Here it's a case where he's being Mochel the Chov that she owes him, and in such a case Rabbi Meir holds Eina Mekudeshes, Rabbi Elazar Omer Mekudeshes. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, no. This Braisa is not dealing with that case at all. The Braisa, if you are meticulous about reading it, says, is Kadshili B'Shtar. It doesn't say anything about a Chov. So what's going on? And this will lead us to a world-class Shas Sugya. It's mostly a Gittin Sugya, but it's also here in Kedushin. And that is, what's the status of a Shtar Kinyan that does not have signatures of Edim on it? And there are two Edim who witness the Mesiras Hashtar, and they serve as Edus L'Kiyum HaDavar. But as far as Edus L'Raya, we don't have any Edi Raya at all, because these Edim will never be able to testify in the future about this particular Shtar, unless they can testify that they saw the Shtar, but nothing that she has in her hand will serve as a Raya. This is the old machlok stream of Meir and Rabbi Lazar about what's called Edi Chasima Karse, Edi Mesira Karse. Rabbi Meir Litame Diomer Edi Chasima Karse. Rabbi Meir says a shtar is only valid if it could serve as a shtar raya. It means there are two Edim who are signed on the shtar. And Rabbi Meir's original principle was formulated in the context of the Kosav law, Sefer Krisis of a get. A get is only valid according to Rabbi Meir. The Torah only recognizes the validity of the get if there are two Edim who are signed on the get. The fact that there are two Edim who witness the Mesiras Hashtar is not sufficient. And by process of equation, Rabbi Meir extends that principle to a Shtar Kiddushin. If there are no Edei Chasima signed on the Shtar Kiddushin, again, even though the purpose of the Shtar is primarily a Kinyan, but there's no such thing as a Shtar Kinyan, that's a chaspa b'alma, that's just paper, the shtar kinyan itself becomes and is recognized as a shtar by virtue of the fact that it could serve in the hands of the kona as a shtar raya, means there are two edim signed in the shtar. Rebbe Lozal itameh diomer edim esira karesi. Rebbe Lozal holds that as far as kinyan, for example, the paradigm case of a get, which is a shtar kinyan, he's makna her rishus on herself, 8-8 mesira are sufficient. And they give the validity to this Sefer Krisus, it has a chal shem shtar, by virtue of the fact that there are two Edim who saw, witnessed the mesira sashtar. So now we have clearly a machlokas in Kiddushin, in Shtar Kiddushin, that is a reflection or extension of the machlokas in Shtar Gittin, in Sefer Krisus. So Rabbi Meir here, who invalidates the Shtar Kiddushin, is because there were no Edim signed on the Shtar, and Edei Chasima Karse, Edei Chasima make the Shtar into a Shtar. Rabbi Lazar, on the other hand, recognizes the validity of this Kiddushin because this Shtar is a Shtar through or by virtue of the Edei Mesira. What about the Chachamim who want to evaluate the parchment on which the Shtar is written? Is Rabbanan Mesafka Lahu? Iki Rabbi Meir, Iki Rabbi Elazar, that he came to no definite conclusion in this machlokes about Edi Mesir, Edi Chasima, Hilkach. Therefore, if you want to validate this Kiddushin, Shamanes and Yarim Yeshpo Shavaput Mekudeshes, Vim Lav Eino Mekudeshes. And again, here you have to add a very important point, which is added by Rashi over here, Dibra Masla Mesafka, that when it says Im Lav Eino Mekudeshes, it means Eino Mekudeshes B'Torah Vadai, but rather it's Mekudeshes B'Torah Safek. Correct? So now if she receives Kedusha from someone else, a second party, a second Mekadesh, then she will need to get from the second Mekadesh. That's what it means when the Chachamim say, if there's no value of a pruta in the parchment, then she's Eino Mekudeshes, meaning she'll need to get from a second Mekadesh. She definitely needs to get from the first Mekadesh, because there is a possibility that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar that Eidi Mesira Karsi. V'Boyisema Kigon Sheksavo Shalo Lishma, another variation of a machlokes here about the shtar, but again, we're no longer dealing with dinei shtar shal acherim or shtar milva dida. We're now dealing about hilchos shtaros. We're right in the thick of hilchos shtaros, and now we want to know about the equation between shtar erisin and a get krisus. We know that in get krisus, the get is only valid if it was written lishma for the sake of this baal, who's megarish this isha. What about a shtar kedushin? Does that shtar kedushin also likewise require lishma? And this, you may recall, was a sugya that we studied back in the first perek. And the Gemara says, ubid reish lakish kamiflgi, the boy reish lakish raised the question, shtar erusin shiksavo shalo lishma mahu. And Rabbi Reish Lakish vacillated on the extent and the scope of the equation between Gittin and Kiddushin. And then Afkabit is going to be, if the Shtar Kiddushin was written Shalol Lishma, Havaya Liyatziya Makshina, do we have an absolute equation between the Din of Kiddushin and Gerushin? Because the Pasuk in Kitetze says, V'yotza mi beis v'alchol ish acher, and there's V'hoysa, and there's V'yotza. V'hoysa means Kiddushin, Havaya, and V'yotza means Gerushin. If we accept that Hekesh here, as far as Lishma is concerned, then we will say Ma Yitzia being in Lishma, just like a get krisus needs to be written Lishma, is Af Havayinami being in Lishma. O Dilma, or should we say Avayos Lahadodi Makshinon? There's a greater, more powerful Hekesh in Havayos themselves, in the various methods of Kiddushin. And we should equate, therefore, the method called Kesev with the method called Shtar. Ma Havaya de Kesev lo be'inin l'shmo, when they minted the coin, it doesn't have to be minted specifically for the sake of this Makadesh and this Miskadesh. So Havaya, so too, in the writing of a Shtar Kiddushin, lo be'inon lishma, we don't need lishma. Basa de baya had the pshita. After he raised this issue, Reish Lakish came to a definite conclusion, and he paskin that this hekesh between avay and yitzia extends to include even the requirement of lishma in the writing of the shtar kedushin. V'yotza v'hoysa makish avay liyitzia. Now the Gemara swings back to the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar in this brisa. Rabbi Meir, who invalidates the kedushin, islay the Reish Lakish, accepts the requirement of Reish Lakish l'maskana. Reish Lakish came to the final conclusion that shtar kedushin, like a shtar gerushin, has to be written lishma. This shtar kedushin was not written lishma, therefore it's invalid. And Rabbi Elazar less laid the Reish Lakish. He rejects Reish Lakish. He holds that a shtar kedushin like kesef does not need lishma, and therefore he validates this kedusha shtar. The Chacham again have doubts, vacillating whether we paskin like Rabbi Meir or like Rabbi Elazar, and they say in order to create a vadei kedushin, therefore we need that the parchment of the shtar be valuated by the market value of a minimum of a pruta. And then she's mekudeshes lo midin shtar ela midin kesef. E boy same with the kuli alma islahu Reish Lakish. I'll give you another alternative. Everyone accepts Reish Lakish, and therefore, if the shtar kedusha was written shalol lishma, forget it. It's definitely not kedusha. And then for sure you have to evaluate the shtar. It was in fact written lishma, but shalomi daita. She herself, the miskadeshes, is the das makna. And the question is, what effectuates and what is recognized as a valid lishma? How far, what are the conditions necessary for the lishma when the shtar kedusha was written? This machlokas really depends on a machlokas between Rav and Ravina on the one hand, and Rav Pop and Rav Sharvi on the other. We learned ksavo lishma v'shalomi daita if the shtar kedushin was written for the sake of this isha, but not with her tzivui, with her approval. In other words, the writers of the shtar, the writer of the shtar, did not first ask her, does she want this shtar to be written, before he sat down and wrote the shtar. Is Rav Ravina Amri Mekudeshes, as long as the shtar is written lishma, that's sufficient. Rav Papa Vesharvia Amri Eina Mekudeshes, it's not enough to write the shtar lishma, you need also midaita. And the Gemara, back on Daf Tes Amid Beis, had explained what is the nature of this machlokas. Rav and Ravina understood that we should learn Kiddushin from Gerushin. You cannot have two Eidim write a get lishma without first conferring with the Baal to receive his approval. And therefore, by virtue of the Hekesh, in the case of Shtar Kiddushin, we need the Das Makna, just like in Gerushin, we need the Das Makna, that's the Baal, the Megarish. So too in Kiddushin, we need the Das Makna, that's the Isha. And therefore, the Shtar without Midaita is not called Lishmon, it's not valid. But Rav Pop and Rav Sharviyov of the opinion that the limud of Kiddushin for Gerushin should be understood differently, that the shtar has to be written. Let me just backtrack for just one moment and clarify what we just said. I'm just giving a little bit of a synopsis of the presentation of the Gemara Daf Tes of the fundamental issue that lies at the root of this machlokes, whether lishma in Ksiva Shtar Kiddushin requires Dasa Isha. Again, that's what we want to summarize. The Gemara establishes that Rava and Ravina are of the opinion that the hekesh between Kiddushin and Gerushin generates a requirement of das, the lishma has to be written midas, that person, that individual who basically effectuates the chalos. For example, in the case of Kiddushin, who effectuates the chalos? It's the megarish, correct? And therefore, the shtar gerishin has to be written midas habal hamegarish, who engenders the chalos gerishin, but there's no need for the approval of the isha misgareshes as a tanai in lishma in the writing of the get. And therefore, in shtar kiddushin, we don't need to effectuate lishma in the writing of the shtar, the dasa isha. So again, just like in gerushin, you don't need dasa isha. So to kiddushin, you don't need dasa isha in order to engender lishma in the writing of the shtar. However, Rav Pop and Rav Sharvia disqualify the shtar if it was written shalomi dasa isha, because they hold as a din of das makna. The requirement of lishma is the requirement of das makna. In the case of get, the das makna is the das habal. In the case of shtar kiddushin, she is the makna, because through this shtar she's being makna herself for issues. So in other words, let's get back to the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Meir holds that you need das or isha like the shita Rav Pop and Rav Sharvia, and since this shtar kedusha was written without her approval, it's invalid. Rabbi Loza, on the other hand, holds like Rava and Ravina that there's no requirement of das or isha in lishma in ksiva shtar kedushin, and therefore the shtar kedushin is valid, and she's mekudeshes. The chachamim have a doubt about it; they vacillate back and forth, and therefore, in order to establish that these kedushin are kedushei vadai, what we need to do is go to the marketplace and evaluate the parchment itself, and if it's worth a pruta, she's mekudeshes, not midin shtar, but rather midin kesef. The Gemara now goes back to analyze the issue of Mekadesh B'milva. Nemo Kahani Tanoi. I have a Braisa which records a Machlokas Tanoim, and that Machlokas could really be broken down into the issue of Mekadesh B'milva. This Sanya we learned in a Braisa. We're talking about a woman who gives raw materials. Let's say she gives metals to an artisan, and she instructs him, Aseli, take this gold, for example, and make for me sheirayim, nizomim, tabos, all sorts of different types, categories of jewelry. In the case of sheirim, we're talking about some sort of a bracelet. In the case of nizomim, we're talking about perhaps something that you put into your nose. Tabos are rings. And as a result of the fact that you're doing this great work, I will give myself to you as a mekudeshes. In other words, she's benefiting from the fact that he is creating for her, with his expertise, a piece of jewelry. His kevon shason, once he creates this Takshit, this piece of jewelry, is mekudeshes. Divrei Rabbi Meir holds that in such a case the kedushin is valid. And basically, what is he giving to her? He's giving to her the schar of his peula. In other words, she would normally owe him whatever fee you have to pay this jeweler to create the jewelry, and he's now waiving that fee. And that is Kiddushei Milva. And Rabbi Meir validates the Kiddushei Chacham Omer Eina Mekudeshes Ad Sheyagia Mamon Liyada. So the Gemara says, what is the machlokas? Hai mamon. The Chachamim have this sort of vague term, achiyagia mamon liyoda, hechidomi. What are they referring to? Ilema oso mamon. If what's going on is that the Chacham are insisting that the Kedushin is not valid until the creator, the artisan, brings the Takshit and delivers it to her, is Michlal, that would imply the Tanakama, that Rabbi Meir, Sovhar, Afilu, Oso, Mamanami, Lo, Rabbi Meir, invalidates the Kedushin. Again, they're talking Chachamim and Rabbi Meir about the same case. So if the case of the Chachamim of the Tanakama is that he, the artisan, the Mekadesh, is delivering the jewelry to her hands, is how could it be possible that they would invalidate the Kedushin? After all, he's giving her a Heftza, which is worth money, and he's being Mekadesh with that object, with that Shavu Kesef, Elbe Mai Mekadesh. We have to assume that he's not delivering that Takshit to her hands. So what is he using as Kiddushin? Olav b'mamon acher u'shmamina b'mekadesh b'milve k'miflugi. What does it mean b'mamon acher? Not the mamon this takshit, that's not what they're arguing about, but rather he's being mochel ha the mamon that's coming to him as schar pa'ula, that she owes him for the work that he's doing. And yet, Rabbi Meir validates the Kiddushin. Shmamino Mekadesh Milva Kamichli. Rabbi Meir recognizes Mechilas Chov as Kiddushin, whereas the Tanakhama rejects it. So the whole story of Rav about Mekadesh B'milva is really the subject of Achlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says the following. Can we really assume that the Machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakhama revolves around Mekadesh B'milva? Savri, the Bnei HaYeshiva were of the opinion to Kuli Alma. Everybody agrees that Yeshno L'Schirus Mitchila V'Ad Sof V'Havi Milva My La B'Ha K'Miflgi D'Mar Sovra Mekadesh B'milva Mekudesh D'Mar Sovra Mekadesh B'milva Eino Mekudeshes. Okay, now we're entering into a sugya in Bav Metzia. And we're talking about schiris, the schar pa'ula for someone who does work. I give you a job to do, and I will pay you when the job is done. At what point do you, the worker, the poel, have rights to be paid? In other words, when is the chov between the socher and the sochir, when is it effectuated? When does that chov come into being? There's one man the Amru says Yeshna Leskiris Mitchila Viad Sof, and the Uman here who's doing the work is Zakai. He has a monetary right to receive his payment on every single part of the Pu'ula. But now we're assuming that everybody agrees Yeshna Leskiris Mitchila Viad Sof, which means that, as we said before, let's just review, there is a chov with every pa'ula. Every pa'ula, even every partial segment of the work, engenders a new chov that emerges and has to be paid by the mask here. And therefore, when this uman, this artisan, is makadish an isha with schar pa'ula, he's being makadish her, even though he hasn't yet delivered the object, with a mechilas chov. Because initially, as soon as he starts the work and there's some improvement, you know, likrat, towards this goal of creating a final product, he, the uman, already owns a chov. And if he's being mochel, even before he delivers the takshit, that's called mechilas milva. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim revolves about Mekadesh B'milva. Rabbi Meir holds that a Mekadesh B'milva is Mekudeshes. And therefore, if this Uman is being Mekadesh Isha with the Schar of Pa'ula, which is Halva, and now he's wiping off that Halva, that Chov, she is Mekudeshes. But the Chachamim hold Mekadesh B'milva ain't a Mekudeshes. The Gemara says, no. We don't really have to assume that the machlokas here revolves around Mekadesh B'milva. But the Kuli Alma Kadesh B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. Everybody agrees, even Rav Meir, to accept the principle of Ra, for that Mekadesh B'milva is Eina Mekudeshes. V'hocha, v'din yeshna b'schiris v'tchila ad sof kam miflegi. Mar sover, and here we're going to turn to the Mem Chesam at Beis to explain. Rabbi Meir, we could say, Eina l'schirus ela l'basof. We're not talking about a milva at all. And we'll come back to explain this in just a minute. Umar sover the Chachamim hold, this is the easier part of the sugya. Yeshna l'schirus mitchila v'ad sof. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, why is this kedushin invalid? Because on every single segment of the malach that this uman does, the makadish does, she, as insofar as she hired him, owes him a chov for his work. Now, if he's being Makadisha with this work that he did, which is not yet complete, so to speak, is that's called Makadish B'milva, and as we said before, everybody agrees Makadish B'milva ain't a Makudesh. Oh. Now we have to go backwards. What is Rav Meir's Shita? Why does he validate and recognize the Kedushin? Is because Eino L'Schiris Ela L'Basof. When I designate you to do this schar pa'ula, the meaning I'm going to pay you schar pa'ula, I only have to pay you, my obligation to pay you is when you finish the job. Until the job is done, that's called the basov, I don't owe you a dime. Oh, and therefore, when the uman delivers the object at the very end, that's when the schar pa'ula as a debt is engendered. And therefore, the uman now is not being mekadish her with mechilas milva, but rather he's being mekadish her with mechilas schar. In other words, now that the job is complete, she owes him payment for all the work that he put in, and for the beautiful improvement of the Zahav, of the metal, which the precious metal, which now he made into a beautiful ornament, a beautiful piece of jewelry. And now he says, all right, you owe me payment now, Levasov. And now, on this chiyuv, I am going to be mochel, my schar. Therefore, she is Mikudeshes. Again, so what's the difference now between Mekadesh b'milva and Mekadesh b'dmei schirus, if you hold endless schirus ela b'sof? If a man is Mekadesh with a milva, she already has the money, and he's not giving her anything new. He's not being Mekadesh with the hana of Mechila Sachov. He's being Mekadesh with the dmei halva itself, and those dmei hana, milva lotzonit, belong to her. They're not in his rishus, but rather in our rishus. Not so in the case of Mekadesh b'mechila schar pa'ula. If you hold that aimless clear celibasov, then the woman is not obligated to pay him for his pa'ula prior to or up until the point of siyum ha'malach, gemar ha'malach, that's lebasov. And therefore, he's now, in a sense, giving her something new. What does it mean? Now he's giving her alva, so to speak. In other words, the mechila and the giving of the money take place simultaneously. And that's why the kiddushin are valid. This is a long arichas in the Pnei Yeshua, giving just the tip of the iceberg. Again, the question here is why Lebasov will help us. Why isn't that Mekadesh b'milva? The answer is, If he would extend to her a loan now and say, I'm being Mekadesh with this money that I'm giving you now as a loan, but I'm being Mokhil the loan, if he could somehow do a halva and a mechila b'vasachas, halva meaning the Mesiris Amos, and the mechila that she doesn't have to pay him back this halva, if he could do that all simultaneously, enochinami, that would be a valid kedushin. The problem with Mekadesh Milva is that she already has the Mos, and now he's not giving her anything new. Here in the case of Schar Pa'ula, if you hold Ein L'Schiris El Basof, he's being Mochel, the Chov, as he's giving it to her. In other words, simultaneous with the emergence of that Chov, when he finishes the Pa'ula, and now she owes him money, he's giving her that money now. Eboy, same with the Gemara, offers another possibility. The Kuli Alm, everybody agrees, Yeshna L'Schiris Mitchila Batsof, and therefore, he has, at the beginning of the work, has already engendered a chov that she has to pay, and therefore it's Mekadesh b'milva. But nevertheless, says the Gemara, Mekadesh b'milva eina mekudesh, it's not valid. V'hocha here, what is the subject of the machlokes? Bi'uman kona b'shvach kli kamiflagi. When a person gives raw materials to an artisan and hires that artisan to finish the work and be mashbiach the kli, when does the owner of the raw materials gain ownership over the shvach kli? Okay? So if you say that uman kona b'shvach kli, then what you're saying is that the uman himself owns the increment in value between the raw material and the final product. That's his. And if that be the case, when the Uman gives the Malacha over to the, we'll call him the Mazmin, you know, the person who ordered the work to be done, then he's selling something for his Char Pa'ula. Morris says that Mar Sovar Uman Kona Vishvach Kli, Rabbi Meir, who validates the Kedushin, holds that Uman Kona Vishvach Kli, so the Uman owns a part of this Kli, and therefore when he gives it to her, he's actually giving her Mama. But if you hold, on the other hand, Mar Sovar the Chacham maintain Ein Uman Kona Vishvach Kli, the Uman doesn't own the Tosef Vishvach of the Kli, then all he has here really is Schar Pa'ula, which she owes him. And if she owes him Schar Pa'ula, now he's being Mochel that Schar Pa'ula, that's called Mekadesh b'milvein and Mekudeshes. Ibai same a third possibility. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Ein Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. And therefore, back to square one, it's Mekadesh b'milve. V'yeshla Eschiris mitchila v'ad sof. Right, so we've checked off all the boxes that would indicate that we're talking about Mekadesh b'milva, Mekadesh b'milva eina mekudeshes. But here we're dealing with a whole other issue, and we've discussed this issue in the past with regard to Mekadesh b'milva. What if he's Mekadesh b'milva u'bepruta? The Uman goes above and beyond the parameters of his agreement, and he gives her a beautiful stone. He adds a beautiful stone to this ring that he fashioned, and that he takes out of his own pocket. And now he wants to be Makadish her with, number one, the Mechila Schar Pa'ula, which we said is Makadish Bemil. Then on top, he wants to Makadish her with this stone, which is worth a Shavah Pruta. Is Mar Sava, Rabbi Meir says that this condition is valid. Why? Milva Pruta, Milva Upruta, since he's giving up both a Milva and a Pruta, is Daite a Pruta, what he's giving her for the sake of Kedushin is the Pruta. And therefore he wants to be a Kaddish, not with the Milva, but with the Pruta. Mar Sava the Chacham maintained Daita Milva is Das, is on the Milva, on the Mechilas Schar Pa'ula, which is a Milva, and therefore she's not Mekudesh, she's Beplugta Dahani Tanoi. And in truth, this Machlokes is an old Machlokes. Now, when it says here, Ubeplugta Dahani Tanoi, the issue is Mekadish Bemilva Upruta. This Sanya, we learned in a Braisa, if an Uman says to a woman, Harayat Mekudeshli Bishar Shasisi Imach, you know, I'll be mochel you the schar pula, then ain't a mekudeshes. That's clearly not valid kedushin, because whatever she owes him is a milva and mekadesh milva and mekudeshes. Bischar she'ese imach. Oh, this is going to be the subject of machlokas tanoim. Is mekudeshes according to this tana? This would be valid if he says the bischar she'ese imach. What is she'ese imach? So what happens is, he finishes his work, this Uman, and now he wants to return the object into the Rishus of the Isha. She was the Mazmin, or we'll call it the Mazmina, correct? And in such a case, this Tana is of the opinion that Ein L'Schirus El B'Sof. We're not talking about Mekadesh B'Milv anymore, because we're talking about a case of Ein L'Schirus El B'Sof. And that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, please let me refresh your memory from a few minutes ago. And we said that if you hold that Ein L'Schirus El B'Sof with the long explanation of Pnei Yoshua, there is valid Kedushin, and that's not called Mekadesh B'milva. When the Uman now delivers the Malacha into the Rishus of the Mazmin of the Bailim, then at that point he's both giving a Milva and being Mocha the Milva at the same time. But there's actually some sort of a gift that's being transferred over to the Mazmin, and therefore in Kedushin it's valid. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson on the other hand is of the opinion that if he says to her, Haret Mekudeshli Bischar She'ese Imach, Eino Mekudeshes, because Rabbi Nosson is of the opinion that Ein L'Schirus, Yesh L'Schirus Mitchila, V'ad Sof, and therefore it's a case of Mekadesh B'milve V'kolshken, and how much more so B'schar Shasisi Imach, for the schar that you already owe me for the segments of the work that I already did, that's certainly Mekadesh B'milve. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, the MS Amru, what exactly is the halacha? Bein B'schar Shasisi Bein Bischar She'ese Imach Eino Mekudeshes. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi accepts the opinion of Rabbi Nosson with regard to Bischar She'ese Imach, but he argues with Rabbi Nosson about a different issue. So let's again learn Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and understand Rabbi Yehuda Anasi very clearly. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that Bein Bischar She'asisi Imach, okay, that which I've already done, and that's That's considered Mekadish B'milva. And if he says to Bishasha Esa Imach, also Eina Mekudeshes, right? Because again, we're talking about Yeshna L'schirus Mitchila V'Adsof. So it's again Mekadish B'milva. So what is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi going to add and deviate from the opinion of Rabbi Nosson? And the answer is V'im Hosif La Nofech Mishalo. But what happens, says Rabbi Yehuda, if now he adds a piece to the Tachshit? So he's giving her a Mechilas Milva on his Pa'ula, but he's also giving her a new Tachshit. Is Mekudeshes, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in this case holds that she is Mekudeshes. So let's just summarize the three opinions in this Braisa. The first opinion in the Braisa validates the Kedushin based on Schar Pa'ula, because he's of the opinion that Ein L'Schiris El Basof. The second two opinions, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, hold that if he's being mochel the schar pa'ula, that's called mekadesh milvein mekudeshes, because yesh no l'schirus mitchila v'yadsof. The machlokas here between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is in the case of mekadesh b'milve u'bepruta,
that he gave her
an additional pruta. The Gemara says the following. Bein Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda, the first machlokas that's recorded in this price in the Reisha between the Tana Kama Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson, Ezekiel Benayu Schirus, they're arguing whether or not Ein L'Schirus Ela Basof or Yesh L'Schirus Mitchila V'Adsof. Is this a case of Mekadesh Milva or is it not? What's the machlokas in the Sefer Bein Rabbi Nosson Le Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? Ezekiel Benayu, the subject of their machlokas is Milva Upruta, is Mekadesh both with a Milva and with a Pruta. Is Mar Sover coin to Rab Nosson Milve Upruta Daite a Milve, and therefore she's not Mekudeshes because his Iker Das, which of the Mekadesh, is on the Milve. Umar Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is of the opinion Sover Daite a Pruta, his Iker Machlokes, his Iker Das is on the Pruta that he's adding. And now, Rabosai, we're up to the Mishnah here in the middle of Mem Chesam Beis, which deals with the issue of a man who is mate on Isha, and he promises to give her X for Kiddushin, and instead he delivers Y. And the Mishnah records three different cases of Hatoya. Hatoya where he fools her. He misleads her. The first case is a man gives a woman a cup of wine, his kachili because shel yayin nimtza shel dvash, and it turns out that there's no wine in the cup, there's honey in the cup. Now keep in mind that honey is expensive. And in effect, he's giving her more than what she bargained for, so to speak. Or Sheldvash, he says he's giving her a cup of honey. Vinimta Shelyayin, and it turns out that there's wine in the cup. Second case. He says to Askachili Bedinar Ze Shel Kesef, silver, Vinimta Shelzov. Once again, he's giving her more than what she expected to get. The second case here is Shelzov, she expected gold, Vinimta Shel Kesef. Then the third case, the Mishnah Zalmanashani Oshiv and Imtza Ani, she was hoping to marry a rich guy. It turns out that all the money in this bank is leaned for a mortgage. Ani, he says to her, you know, I'm a poor guy, Vinimtza Shu Oshir. Is the Mishnah says, Eina Mekudesh. So according to Tanakama, this Mishnah, in all these cases of Hatoya, the Kedushin is invalid. Rab Shimon Omer Hitol Shvach, if on the other hand it went up in value, she got more than what she expected, is Mekudeshes. The Gemara now quotes a series of three brisos that seem to contradict one to the other to the other. Tanu Rabbanan, in the first briso we say, if a man says to a woman, is Kachi Li, because Zeh. So Tanicha, the first briso says, Bo, she's Mekudeshes with the cup itself, assuming the cup has a Shava Pruta. Uba Mesha Betocho. But you know what? We don't have to limit her Kiddushin to receiving the value of the cup. We can also integrate that which is in the cup. And if, let's say, the value of the cup itself is a half a pruta, the value of the contents of the cup is another half a pruta, we can integrate the two, and she's mekudesh. Tanya, either we have another brisa that says bo veloba mesha bekos socho, we have to evaluate the cup, and if it's worth a pruta, fine, she's mekudesh. We cannot integrate that which is inside the cup. Tanya, either we have another brisa that says b'masha betocho velo bo, that all depends on what's inside the cup, the contents, velo bo, but not the value of the cup itself. So again, we have three possibilities, and in fact three brises that reflect these three possibilities. Brisa number one says that we can integrate the two, he's giving up both the kos and that which is in the kos. Brisa number two says he's giving her the kos and not that which is in the kos. Brisa number three says he's giving her that which is in the kos but not the kos. Velo kash, the Gemara says there's no stira. We can interpret these three brises respectively in such a way that there's no contradiction. They're all talking about different scenarios. Huh? Let's go back to the first brisa, Bimaya. The brisa understands that if a man gives a woman a cup of water, then his interest is being mekadish her with the kus itself. Huh, bechamra. If, on the other hand, the brisa, in the case of chamra that has wine in it, is of the opinion that the kedushin is chal both on the cup and on that which is inside the cup, habetzahira, and the brisa that talks about being mekadisha with the kus and that which is inside the kus. That's a case where the kus is full of tzahira, that's a tzir shel dagim, and that means that the tzir itself is worth something. It can be used for cooking, and therefore he's mekadesh her both with the cup and that which is in the cup. In the case of chamra, the wine is worth so much more than the cup itself that the kedushin is on the cup, the contents of the cup, and not on the cup. In the case of the mayim, on the other extreme, since the contents of the cup is literally valueless, he's being mekadesh her with the cup itself. So three different variations, and there's no stira amongst the brises. We'll stop here.